1290 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay,
and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. House Republicans pull the trigger today on the next step in impeaching Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
Articles of impeachment will be walked over by the House Republican impeachment managers over to the Senate. That kicks off the proceedings in that chamber, which is controlled by Democrats, and Chuck Schumer, the leader there, has made it clear he wants to make quick work of this impeachment. It's unclear what Schumer will choose to do. He can move to dismiss the charges quickly or hold the trial, not on the Senate floor, but in a committee. Jay O'Brien, ABC News, Washington.
Jury selection resumes this morning in the hush money trial of Donald Trump. No jurors were chosen during Monday's first day of the process. Fire in one of the oldest buildings in Copenhagen. The roof of the old stock exchange, which dates to the 17th century, was engulfed in flames. The iconic spire has collapsed. The building adjacent to Christian Palace, seat of the Danish Parliament. This is ABC News. An attempted phone scam produced a bizarre and deadly shooting. ABC's Derek Dennis tells the tale.
81-year-old William Brock of South Charleston, Ohio, is charged with murder after receiving a scam phone call. The caller claimed to have information about an incarcerated relative and demanded money. At the same time, an Uber driver, 61-year-old Lolitha Hall, got a scam reservation to pick up a phony package at Brock's home. Police say she showed up, was held at gunpoint by Brock, who took her phone and wanted to know who sent her. Hall was then allegedly shot three times and killed by Brock as she tried to leave. Investigators say Brock failed to contact authorities before opening fire, and there was no active threat to warrant the shooting. Derek Dennis, ABC News.
The Chicago Cubs announced the death of left-handed pitcher Ken Holtzman, the winningest Jewish pitcher in baseball, had more wins than Sandy Koufax. Fired two no-hitters with the Cubs before becoming part of the Oakland A's, who won three straight World Series, 1972, 73, and 74. Ken Holtzman was 78. I'm Richard Cantu, ABC News.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. Today we're talking credit scores. I mean, we all know we're supposed to have a good one, but what is a credit score? It's a number rating how likely you are to pay back a loan. Anytime you use credit, you know, like your credit card or a mortgage, the info about what you borrowed and when you paid it gets sent to three credit bureaus: TransUnion, Equifax, and Experian. They track every transaction and compile detailed financial information on every single American. I mean, a little creepy, am I right? And they rate you on a scale from 300 to 850. Over 670 is good, and over 800 is excellent. Then the bureaus sell your rating to anybody who's thinking about lending you money, and you get a better or a worse deal based on your score. Best way to keep that score up is pay your bills on time. This is Carrie Joy from Work Money. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org or text MONEY to 88285. Take good care.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A statue honoring the first black woman elected to statewide office in Wisconsin is going up in front of the state capitol building in Madison this summer. The project got final approval Friday. Vell Phillips was elected Wisconsin's Secretary of State in 1978. The O.J. Simpson murder trial 30 years ago had a lasting impact on the way Americans consume news. Commentators became a fixture of trial coverage, and they're still used to interpret current events to this day.
It also meant that people could suspend their critical thinking to a certain extent, and I believe we're still seeing that today. The rise of social media has only made it easier.
Jane Kirkley teaches media studies at the University of Minnesota. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
The Brewers lose to San Diego.
Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Padres played the Dodgers in L.A. on Sunday Night Baseball and didn't get into Milwaukee until Monday morning, yet they still managed to beat the Brewers 7-3 at AmFam Field. Brewers manager Pat Murphy.
You give the Padres credit for taking that long trip and getting here at 6 in the morning and coming out with their A group, and yeah, we didn't put them away. We had a chance to put them away early, and we didn't, and it's credit to them.
Brewers pitcher Joe Ross.
I feel like I threw the ball well. If there was one pitch I would like to throw again, it was probably the last pitch. But otherwise, I mean, I felt good about how I was throwing the ball.
NBA, Doc Rivers is getting the Bucks ready for Sunday's playoff game against the Pacers. Does he know yet about the status of Giannis or some of their other injured players?
I literally don't know yet. Like, I'm going to watch film, and we'll get to it. And we will have a game plan, and we'll be ready when that day comes.
That's Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. A partly cloudy sky to take us through the overnight as lows bottom out in the lower 40s. We'll have a light east breeze. On Tuesday, we'll see more clouds, upper 50s for highs, east winds gusting over 30 miles per hour, some showers in the late afternoon, showers and storms Tuesday night, currently 44 degrees.
And the mayor in the morning and the talk of Green Bay all day long. 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Broadcasting live statewide from the Civic Media studios in Green Bay. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, your inside source on everything entertainment from Wisconsin to Hollywood. Now, a guy who binge watches TV for a living but doesn't get paid, Pete Schwabba.
Welcome to Nightlight. Happy Monday, everybody. We are just kicking. This is our first in a series of Nightlights. Look at the week as a mini series of Nightlight Radio. I am Pete Schwabba, your host. Great to have you with me on this Monday evening. Got a fun show for you guys tonight. I know I say that every night, but I'm not a liar. I wouldn't say it if it weren't true, right? Conrad, I mean.
Yeah, that's very true.
Yeah. I'm just glad you're still here. Fun show. Got a good friend of mine who is a film producer named Bob Brown. He's a Michigan-based film producer. He made a film called Escanaba in the Moonlight with Jeff Daniels. It made a ton of money. We'll talk to Bob at 8:35. I'm sorry, at 7:35. And then in the second hour, Chris Foran from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel joins us to talk about some articles he wrote. That Chris just writes great stuff. He wrote about the Milwaukee Film Festival. He did an article on whether or not the UP should be part of Wisconsin or Michigan, which I thought was pretty interesting. So we'll talk to Chris about that. And then he's as up on TV and film as I am typically, maybe even more so because he gets paid to do that. I guess I sort of do too. I have a special guest in the studio right now who I'm hoping can help me intro the show. Aaron Carano. Aaron, how are you?
It's a really, really tall ask.
Well, listen, man, you're a radio guy. You were in radio.
I am. Yeah, I am. Still am.
And a Green Bay guy. You lived here.
I lived right down the street.
Yeah. So it's like a homecoming for you.
Little did I know I'd be working out of this. The building didn't exist back then because we talked about this the last time I was on. It was the department store.
Isn't that crazy? This was the Port Plaza Mall.
Port Plaza Mall.
Wow. And you said the Schreiber Building, I think, was part of that too, right? I thought it was all along the river.
Here. It was all of this. Well, I'm like pointing to it as if the listeners can hear me. You can see what I'm doing. It was the whole thing. Even all around here were the different anchors of the mall,
yeah.
The department stores.
That's where we came. When I was in high school, I went to Marinette Catholic Central. We moved up there when I was in junior high. This is where we would come to the mall. They had the Green Bay Pants Company. It's like, what? It's not a Gap. It's like just the Green Bay Pants. Like all, and they had the, like better food at the food court. Like this was like where it was all happening.
You know, but they still have really great places around here. Al's Hamburger, right down the street. Yeah. I think it's Angelina's. The Italian is right over there.
Oh, yeah, right.
And a lot of these, I mean, this is still the entertainment downtown part of the city. So we've got a lot of good things going on.
It's a beautiful area. Welcome back to your semi-adopted hometown, I guess you'd call it. But it's great to have you here, man.
It's like walking. It's like walking in the old neighborhood. It's like taking a walk in the park.
Is it safe?
Around here?
Safe, right?
Yeah, it's fine.
I just walked in my car, but it seems safe.
I don't have the best part about coming in to talk on your show versus I usually come in on Mino and the Mayor when I'm done, and it's all the managerial stuff. They're like, oh, that guy's here again. But when I talk with you, it's like, oh, I get to be the radio person, and I don't have to plug the meter.
Yes, after six, baby. That's where it's
so
at.
So good.
That's why we like having you here, just so we don't want to have to make you pay for parking. And we got distracted. So here's what we're going to do, Conrad. As much as it is nice having Aaron here, we did not come up with a question for tonight.
Yeah, we did.
Because we got
not.
To jawing and having fun. So in the next couple minutes, the three of us will come up with a question for the night.
Deal.
And ladies and gentlemen, if you want to text in, we did this a couple weeks ago and it worked really well. If you want to text in your idea for a question, you can do that at 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. As you know, you're always welcome to text in no matter what we're talking about and join the fun. Conrad is here to take your calls. You are here, right, Conrad?
I mean, you can see me clearly.
Now I can see you because we moved the monitor.
Yeah.
So you ready to take some text, buddy?
I always am.
Tell people how they can watch the radio. That's exciting.
Yeah, so we're on Facebook under WGBW and under Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. On YouTube, we're under Civic Media. And on Twitter or X or Twix, we're under WGBW.
Twix.
Yes.
Is that the new?
Todd Alba, I think, came up with that, right?
Todd did come up with that.
Todd's always got, he's got a creative mind, doesn't he?
Yes.
Yeah, he does. And I don't like to give him credit usually because he thinks he's so big. I just wanted to talk like Homer. That's one of the few words I can say where I sound like Homer. Hey, we got a polka anniversary coming up too. And Amanda is looking into getting a live polka act in the studio, which I think would be fun. Historically, I'm not a huge polka fan, but when you're up close and you're there, it's so much fun.
Do you have a favorite polka band?
Yeah, the Kenosha Kickers. Maybe you've heard of them.
Are they really? Are they?
No, that's John Candy's band from Home Alone.
Oh, yeah.
They were good, though. They sold, 623 copies of a Polka Polka, I think was the name of this. Yeah. Polka Polka. I do like, it's fun when you're like at a high school basketball game or something, you know?
They're going to say Happy Schnapps Combo.
Is that
remember
band?
Them?
No, I don't. Aren't they?
I believe so.
Oh, that's a great
Happy
name.
Happy Schnapps Combo.
That's a great name. Are they still around?
I don't think they're making new music. Oh. I don't think so. Like,
okay. Well, we'll find somebody. And if you're listening and you're from a highly acclaimed polka band, if one so exists.
Growing up, I think it was the Jerry Schneider Band.
Oh, that's
somewhere
a great
in Sheboygan
name.
County, Fond du Lac County.
I love that.
If you're listening on WISS, you've got to probably know the Jerry Schneider Band.
Would they still be together?
Oh, they have to be. Firemen's picnics depend on the Jerry Schneider Band.
I love it. Well, we'll work on that because I think it's April 23rd is National Polka Day. So we'll figure that out. And then today is National Laundry Day. Did you do laundry today, Aaron?
I did not.
No, me either. Remember when we were talking about speaking of Todd Alba, we were talking about our superpowers? No, what are you the MacGyver of? That was our question. And Todd, I don't remember what Todd said. He was the MacGyver of probably coming up with phrases like Twix or whatever. But I said I was the MacGyver of making laundry last one more wear. Like turn it inside out, smell it, you know, get by, put a sweater over it. That's my laundry day. And Aaron, you and I were talking about you're a fan of The Bachelor or not?
I pretend that I'm not, but I find myself dabbling.
Interesting.
And watching, and I'm sucked in every single time I watch. Golden Bachelor's the other one, right?
Yeah.
And that's the I heard one. About. They got divorced.
So tragic. I thought they seemed so happy. I can't even say that was a dream. You're going on TV looking for love. The divorce rate is like twice what it is. And you don't expect people to stay together, but there was a guy today who's from Wisconsin, Nick Vile, who is judging the Golden Bachelor. And he said he thinks the guy's either hiding something or he said maybe Jerry Turner isn't as golden as we think. Like totally casting aspersions on his brethren. But this guy, Nick Vile, was on The Bachelor, the Golden Bachelor, not the Golden Bachelor, The Bachelorette, and then some other iteration of The Bachelor. He's gone on three times. Could not find love, and he decided to marry a woman 20 years younger than him. And he's judging the Golden Bachelor. I don't know.
You go on the show three times. That's impressive.
And you come up broke? Yeah.
Usually you end up on Match after that. Match.com, and it's over. That's it.
Yeah, hasn't this guy heard of Tinder? Are you on Tinder?
No.
No? Me either. I'm married, but...
you could be.
My wife encourages me. She encourages me to go on Twitter.
Oh. There's a question of the night, right?
You know, there. Exactly. And are you a Van Halen fan?
Oh, yeah.
They got a book coming out. Alex Van Halen has a book coming out about his brother. The two of them, they were immigrants from Amsterdam. I did not know that. And they came over here, had a really hard work ethic, I guess. And they all lived, I don't know how many of them there were, but they were like an 800 square foot house. And they just became Van Halen. It's just a great story. It's a great immigrant story, you know? So that book comes out October 22nd, the book about the Van Halens. And what else? Are you watching anything good?
You know, I was told that I had to watch, is it Top Chef? Is that is that the show that's being or was filmed in Madison, Milwaukee, and Door County?
I couldn't remember if it was filmed here or if they had someone from, but there's one connection.
Something like that, right?
Yeah.
So I thought they were filming, I think they were filming around here because I was told that the episode coming up this week is based on the farmer's market around Madison. Now, I could be wrong.
Oh, nice. That's kind of cool.
I could be wrong, but I'm not, I don't cook. So I watch these shows like hoping for a glimmer of inspiration. You know,
to make you
want to
cook,
to make me want to. And I did Home Chef this week.
What's did that? What do you mean Home Chef?
Yesterday,
like you cooked
the meal. No, gosh, the meal preparing, the meal prepared box. You know, the boxes that come to your home, meal delivery.
Oh yeah,
the kits. That's about as good as I do. I can't
That's not too bad. Those are pretty healthy though, right?
Usually,
I think those are pretty good. Yeah. I don't do the reality thing that much. I got to be honest, but I know Matt Miller. I think it was a big Top Chef. He's been on the show a couple times, like within 2 months. And both times I asked him what he was watching, and he said Top Chef. Like he was still into it. So it must be good. And if you like to cook, I think you like seeing all the food imagery and that kind of stuff.
Was that the original one? Because there's been a lot of shows that have spun off from, you know, like there was one or two cooking shows back when Netflix was first
right.
in our TV, in our living rooms.
Yeah.
And then slowly there were one-offs, right? And then there's more. And then there's the one about the cakes. They make
cupcake
cakes.
Cupcake wars. Yeah, yeah.
So I don't know if this is the original one or if it's and it's going strong or if it's not. But
that's hilarious. Yeah, I don't. I gotta tell you, I watched a really good movie, this weekend called Leroy, Texas, with Steve Zahn. You know who Steve Zahn is? He's the guy from. He's the guy from that thing that did the thing about the what the heck. You'd know him if you saw him. He's a great actor, but there was a scene in the movie. He plays a PI, and I'm totally putting this on my list for all of you to check out. It's a really fun movie, and I think it's free if you stream it. They're bracing this guy to get information out of him. Steve Zahn is a PI, sticks his head in the toilet, like in the Big Lebowski, and he's telling him to tell him what he knows. The other guy he's with says, "You can't do that, man. You're going to kill him." He goes, "No, people can hold their breath for like up to 2 minutes." And as he's doing that, the guy goes limp. So they pull him out of the toilet. The other guy comes over, resuscitates him, you know, CPR. And the guy spits up water. Steve Zahn sticks his head back in the toilet. Same deal. He goes limp. They pull him out. Bring him back to life again. I was on the floor. It was one of the funniest scenes I've seen in a movie. It was great.
We'll watch it at the break.
At the break. And we'll solidify a question at the break. That's what we'll do. Aaron Carreno is here, folks. Civic Media compadre. Who is checking things out here in Green Bay. It's great to have him in the studio. Conrad's riding shotgun. We are looking for a question. We'll have one after this unless we get a great suggestion that comes in. But we'll let you guys know what that is. Coming up next, if you still want to suggest one, 855-752-4842. This is Pete Schwab. You're listening to Nightlight on the Civic Media Radio Network. I believe I'm falling in.
Phoning her at least 10 times a day.
This is the talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
Max Inc. on Civic Media, live in the lair with Kalen Cole.
Have you ever walked away from a karaoke performance thinking, yeah, that was a lot better than the original person?
Oh my gosh, I don't know if I should admit that or not.
I think you should. Because now we know there's a song.
Jimmy's talking on it now.
I know. Oh, you're going to get me in trouble, Jimmy.
It's live in the lair. Grab the podcast now at maxincradio.com and listen live on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network.
Don't you wish your life came with a warning app?
Stop.
That dog does not want to be petted.
A heads up before something bad happens.
You should not send that text.
Uh-oh. Life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome, but prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes, you can reverse prediabetes and prevent or delay type 2 diabetes. To learn your risk, take the one-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes awareness partners.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Devil's Advocates radio show.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
So the question is, how many times will you wear your clothes without washing them? That's our question tonight.
Who wants to start this off?
I mean, no judgment, right? There's just phone numbers. We don't have... Conrad, how many times have you worn that sweatshirt without washing
person.
It?
He's
John Q. Public.
I really wash everything. I'm a clean freak when it comes to that.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I thought you were blushing because maybe you were going the opposite direction, right?
It's no. My ninth time with no t-shirt.
I wash everything after it's been used at least.
Just
like,
once?
Just once, yeah.
Wow. That's got to add up, though.
I mean, yeah, I do a lot of laundry. Yeah, I do.
How much is it for a load of wash over there?
It's nothing. It's
at
in my
Boca
apartment.
Vista. Oh, you got in-unit laundry.
Yep.
Look at you. God, I didn't have in-unit laundry when I was his age.
I haven't had that. So
crazy.
This is the first time.
Are you ready for this, Conrad?
Yeah.
I'm ready.
Ready? Pete, when was the last time you washed that pair of pants you're wearing right now?
Full disclosure. These are my pants I never wear underwear with. So this is the first time. I'm joking. This is the first time I've worn these pants. But this shirt, I'm on probably round 4 or 5. I always wear a t-shirt with
Fine.
It. And I always smell it before I put it on, you know. So, you know, I don't know. Here, while we're on the subject, guys, this will be fun. So that's our question tonight. Let us know what you guys think. How many times will you wear your clothes? What's appropriate before you wash them?
Underwear is a non-negotiable, though. That has to be use.
Yes.
Every use. You could turn them inside out. No, I agree.
Are you sure you haven't washed?
Listen, am I going out in public or not? Because I got to be honest. I'm just going out to pick up the yard. I'm not burning a fresh pair. But, if I'm going to be around people and civilization, I'm definitely. 855-752-4842. Let us know what you think. What is the appropriate amount of times to wear your clothes before you wash them? It is National Laundry Day, ladies and gentlemen, so I would love to hear from you. Here's another thing. I'll take this a step farther. Deodorant. There is an anti-deodorant movement, and I will say I've sort of bought into it. Like, I'm coming here today. I'm around people. I'm wearing deodorant. But if I'm not leaving my house all day, or the general area where I live, or I don't have a meeting or whatever, I skip the deodorant. I do. Because supposedly there's aluminum in deodorant. It can cause dementia. That's what they're saying.
Is that what it causes? That's
sure.
I mean, I've heard,
heard that.
I've heard that too.
Yeah.
But they make now, I've got this aluminum free deodorant.
Is it Lume? Is that what
it's Arm & Hammer.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. It doesn't really smell that good, I'll be honest. I kind of like the Old Spice better.
Yeah. I go Menon.
Conrad, are you rocking the Old Spice? Or
he doesn't wear deodorant. That's why he has to do laundry every day.
No. I use Harry's. I really like their stuff.
That's fancy.
This guy's got expensive
taste. Wow. Well, I mean, Old Spice is really expensive now, too.
First the in-unit laundry, now the Harry's deodorant.
Wow. That's good. That's going to eat up a lot of... You're expendable.
Old Spice costs...
Old Spice is nothing, dude.
I mean, Harry's is the same price.
Seriously?
Yeah. Oh.
I don't know. I mean, I feel better when I put deodorant on, but I really do read those studies, and it kind of freaks me out. When you start
without a doubt
smelling like Daryl from The Walking Dead, it's time to maybe throw on some deodorant. I don't know. It's interesting. So... This has turned into like a hygiene lesson, which is fine.
The only deodorant I can't wear is the old, like when my dad had the old stick deodorant with it flaked off and it would involve your clothes.
Yes.
And make, you know, that stuff sucks.
And the spray. Remember the spray? Like you would spray Axe? Aerosol. Oh, Axe. I guess Axe is, but that's like a body. That's not really a deodorant, is it?
It's spray though.
But you know, there are people who wear cologne in lieu of deodorant. Like they think that's an alternative to deodorant. And I'm like, no, that's like it's like the icing on the cake. You don't skip the deodorant and put on High Karate or Dracar or whatever.
You deodorant and then you do a little spritz.
Yeah,
exactly. If you want.
Correct. Huh. That's interesting. All right. Well, I would say I wear jeans like probably 4 or 5 times before I wash them. Unless I'm out like, I love seeing like when you go by a playground, you see the pickup games, the guys wearing jeans. It's like to play basketball, to hoop. I would never do that. But those I would wash. But no, I do 4 or 5, maybe shirts, 2 or 3, depending on how active I was.
Shirts are a little different. I feel like there's more sweat opportunities with shirts.
Totally.
They stretch out a lot.
Absolutely.
But pants, jeans, I could go. I think we can go longer.
I'm sure, yeah. I just have this like.
Unless they stink.
Right. And there's a lot of different reasons a pair of pants can stink. What is happening here? All right.
The show's off the rails.
Connor's looking at me like, is this Nightlight? What? Yeah, it's called going with the flow, Conrad. This is something your generation needs to learn. So you used to do radio here, Aaron.
I did.
Tell us, you were a music jock, right?
Yeah, I was. So we're all, this is a really great radio community. It still is to this day. I mean, how exciting is it to have Mino and the mayor here? So I used to work with John Mino on WIXX.
Gosh. Wow.
And that was my first radio job. I did overnights. They have live people on the station. I'm all for that. That's how we get our talent in this industry,
that.
Right?
Yeah, and it's cool just knowing you're listening to a real person like at 2 in the morning.
You can engage with them. Cool. Yeah. Right? Text with them. So I worked with John, and that's how and then I worked before that. I was a community service. I think they call them community service officers now, but they called it something different back then for the city of Green Bay because I had a law enforcement degree. So I met Mayor Schmidt at the time through that.
Huh.
And so when I changed gears and went into radio, then I met John Mino. And so my roots here from living here, going to school here. I mean, talk about what goes around comes around, right?
No,
I mean,
kidding.
Full circle.
That's hilarious. And you had no idea those two one day would get together
and do a show. It's wild.
It is wild. So they have so much fun in the morning. And it's funny that John lives in the building because I'll be in the middle like of an intro and John will just walk in and come in and sit down. Like he came in here once. He's been begging me. He's been saying, you got to put me in your next movie. You didn't put me in your last movie, whatever. I'm like, John, I don't have anything on the docket right now, but I'll keep your resume on file. But he came in here and he showed me an acting certificate from the University of Arizona. And he comes in and he goes, just wanted to show you this, buddy. Look at that. What do you think of that? And I'm like opening the show and he's like in my face about the thing. And then he just put it down and left. He left it here. He didn't take it with him.
He's in the apartments like right here, right?
On the premises, yeah.
If you haven't been here, I mean, this is a pretty intricate area.
Oh, yeah.
Living where you can live, work, and play here. I mean, it's great.
Absolutely. Although, and there's a new coffee shop going in next door, and then the store, I think they're converting that. That's still going to be a store, but they have new owners coming in or something.
So. Oh, I'll be here bright and early tomorrow morning. So,
yeah.
Hey, Pete, always glad to see you. I appreciate you, too, you having me on.
Hey, man.
Conrad, you too.
Anytime. I mean, you're sort of my boss, so of course, anytime. You can just come in here and do whatever you want, frankly. Next time, please wear pants. But it fell into the conversation tonight. So, no, it was great having you, man. Thank you so much.
Hey, appreciate it.
Thanks for all your support, too. It's fun.
He'll grab some deodorant now. So.
Yeah. We always keep a fresh... Conrad's going to do laundry, actually, during the break. That's how crazy this has gotten. So Bob Brown is coming up next. We're going to talk to Bob about filmmaking and a couple hit movies he's done. Thanks for being with me tonight, folks. You got Nightlight and Pete Schwabe on the Civic Media Radio Network. All my instincts, they return. The grand facade so soon will burn.
You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home of Mino and the Mayor.
ABC News, I'm Richard Cantu. House Republicans pull the trigger today on the next step in impeaching Homeland Security Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas.
Articles of impeachment will be walked over by the House Republican impeachment managers over to the Senate. That kicks off the proceedings in that chamber, which is controlled by Democrats, and Chuck Schumer, the leader there, has made it clear he wants to make quick work of this impeachment. It's unclear what Schumer will choose to do. He can move to dismiss the charges quickly or hold the trial not on the Senate floor, but in a committee. Jay O'Brien, ABC News, Washington.
Jury selection resumes this morning in the hush money trial of Donald Trump. No jurors were chosen during Monday's first day of the process. Fire in one of the oldest buildings in Copenhagen, the roof of the old stock exchange, which dates to the 17th century, was engulfed in flames. The iconic spire has collapsed. The building adjacent to Christian Palace, seat of the Danish Parliament. This is ABC News.
Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
Civic Media News. I'm Terry Bell. Here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A Wisconsin maker of firefighting foam has reached a $750 million settlement with public water systems with harmful PFAS chemicals in their drinking water. Tyco Fire Products use foam containing PFAS at its firefighting training facility in Marinette. 3M and DuPont have also recently settled PFAS lawsuits over polluted drinking water. U.S. House Republicans will have just a one-vote majority after Wisconsin's Mike Gallagher steps down Friday. Former Northeast Wisconsin Congressman Reed Ribble says he's not alarmed.
Let's face it, Congress really isn't doing anything. And they're not going to be doing anything. This last few months in session is going to be all messaging bills.
Ribble on WISN-TV's Upfront program Sunday. And that's what you need to know. I'm Terry Bell, and this is Civic Media News.
Mino and the Mayor.
Is that you?
No. Did you lose your phone again? Is it? Okay. So he walks out his whole briefcase. His phone starts ringing deep in his briefcase. He has to carry his whole briefcase out of the studio to answer the phone.
I can't even find it. Jeez.
Mino and the Mayor, weekday mornings 6 until 9 on the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, and Oshkosh Air Support, WISS, and on the Civic Media app.
It is going to be windy and cooler today. A little sunshine this morning, but clouds will increase by later this afternoon. Our high 60, the wind east gusting to 35 today. More rain tonight into tomorrow, an inch to an inch and a half or more possible by the time everything winds down late tomorrow. Our high tomorrow, right around 62. I'm meteorologist Sean Cable. Current temperature 44.
Retirement can be scary, but only if you're not prepared. That's why AARP created thisispretirement.org. Because unless you've already retired, you're in pretirement and you still have time to plan. Learn about retirement savings options, potential tax breaks, and how you can build savings over time. Visit thisispretirement.org for free resources to help you customize your action plan and feel the retirement fear disappear. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
A fourth-generation family-owned business is running strong thanks in part to Wisconsin cheese. Dufek Wood Products calls Denmark home and has been based in Northeast Wisconsin for close to 120 years. It's best known for manufacturing boxes, which are food-safe to age and ship wheels of cheese and can be reused. But another Dufek Wood product is getting attention thanks to the Guinness Book of World Records. Do you think it's the family's wine boxes, organic garden mulch, or charcuterie boards? The answer coming up. Winter logging for summer building supplies is how the Dufek started. Manufacturing shifted by 1912 to other wood products, especially those cheese boxes. So did you guess which wood product is getting attention from the Guinness Book of World Records? It's the Dufek's charcuterie boards, with one recently named the largest ever, holding more than 760 pounds of gourmet cheese. That's one huge slice of Wisconsin. I'm Terry Barr for the Civic Media Radio Network.
Broadcasting from the City Deck Studios on North Washington Street, the Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
Did you miss what's hot from Wisconsin to Hollywood? Listen to Nightlight with Pete Schwabba podcast on civicmedia.us. You can always listen through Spotify, Apple Podcast, or the Civic Media app. Take Nightlight with Pete Schwabba anywhere you go. Once again, here is your host, Pete Schwabba.
So it is National Laundry Day. I didn't make it up. That's a true thing. And our question is, how many times can you wear clothes before washing? That's what we are asking tonight. We kind of piecemealed the question together, Conrad, if I'm not.
I still think it's a good question, I believe, you know.
It's National Laundry Day, so yeah. we need to know. 855-752-4842. 855-75-CIVIC. Let us know. We got some good texts already. This is Jim from Appleton says, that varies greatly depending on what the article of clothing is. A winter coat, that is 3 to 5 layers away from the skin twice a year. Wow. Jim washes his winter coat twice a year. I don't think I've ever washed a winter coat.
Wait, are you being serious?
Why would I wash a winter coat?
At least wash it once.
You're a little anal retentive. We've just learned that you will do laundry like every day. Jeans 2 or 3 days unless something is spilled on them. Outer shirts, same, inner shirts daily. Yeah, I'm with you on that one, Jim. Well done. From the 920, former Green Bay Packer Jared Bush was on the show today, and John Mino said he smelled great. We found out that he wears cologne called Creed. It's like $500 a bottle. Yeah, I can't shell out that much for cologne. I don't wear cologne anyway. But if I did, I'd probably go like, I got some old High Karate from the 70s. I'd throw that on. Steve, Conrad's dad checking in from the 920. Rule of thumb, change the underwear and t-shirt every day. Since the bars and restaurants went smoke-free, pants 3 to 5 times, shirts 1 to 3 times, depending on weather. I can roll with that.
Yeah.
That's your laundry role model there, Conrad. And I think you've done well to represent that. Okay, so coming up in the 8 o'clock hour at 8:35 from the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, Chris Foran joins us to talk about whether or not the UP should be part of Wisconsin, what's going on at the Milwaukee Film Festival, and all kinds of fun stuff. But right now, I'm very excited to welcome our next guest to Nightlight. He's been a friend of mine for a long time. He's a very prolific filmmaker. And he had kind of an interesting path into the film world, and I want him to tell that story, and that's why I'm having him on the show. Bob Brown joins us now on Nightlight. Hey, Bob.
Hey, Schwabba, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
How is Michigan tonight?
Pardon me?
How's Michigan tonight?
Michigan is great.
Yeah?
It's just getting dark. It's a beautiful day today. We had 65 and sunny all day.
Isn't that great?
But, listening to your weather forecast, I'm sure it's going to get cloudy and mucky a little bit later on for us.
Oh, I'm fully expecting.
But it is great.
We'll still get a snowstorm that'll bring us 2 feet of snow at some point before it gets really nice out. So that's just.
No.
You don't think so?
Not this year. No, not this year. Not this year. Uh-uh.
Bob is also a meteorologist, ladies and gentlemen.
I already washed my winter coat and put it away for the year. So
you're way ahead of me. Years ahead of me. I just buy a new coat. Right.
Years ahead. Well, there you go.
Yeah. That's like that that old Rich Seidner joke. He says, his girlfriend says, where are you going to put your towels when he moves into a new place? He says, my towels. I got one towel. When that one's stiff, I buy a new one. Bob, this is so much fun having you on the show. I've been trying to get you on for a while now. Yeah, you're very welcome. And you have some projects I want to talk about with you, but if you don't mind, first, tell the listeners how you found your way into the film industry. It's not a typical story, and I think it's kind of cool. Yeah. I've always been kind of fascinated at your trajectory. So would you share that with us?
Sure. Be happy to. So I was midlife. I think I was 42. Had spent 25 years or so self-employed as a financial planner, but I also had a second life. I was a serial entrepreneur as well. And I had heard through the grapevine that the actor Jeff Daniels had his own little theater company in Chelsea, which is a small town just west of Ann Arbor. And I happened to pick up some tickets and went to a show and ran into him in the lobby, introduced myself, and we started chatting. And fast forward 6 months, we were having lunch in downtown Chelsea, and I looked at him and I said, so I don't mean this with any disrespect, but I don't understand acting. He said, what do you mean? I said, I just don't get it. Like, to me, it doesn't seem like it's enough because, you know, you just go, you show up, you do your thing and you leave. You have no idea what's going to happen. You have no control, you know, whether it's good, whether it's bad, you know, it's, you just throwing caution to the wind. And, you know, he laughed and said, yeah, that's pretty much it. And I asked him the question, what do you want to do? Do you want to do anything other than act? And he said, yeah, I want to make a movie. And I go, really? How do you make a movie? And he said, well, you know, I've been in 30 of them, but I don't have a clue how to make them. So my serial entrepreneur head started spinning. And I looked at it and I said, well, you know, isn't it just kind of like a manufacturing process? Only instead of a widget, it's a subjective piece of intellectual property. And he looked at me strangely and goes, yeah, I guess. And then
check, please.
I said, well, yeah, he made sure we were going Dutch too. So, but, so anyway, I said, you know, well, it's kind of like building a team and making a product and selling the product, isn't it? And he said, sure, sure. So I said, well, I can help you. I can do that. And he looked at me very strangely. And the first thing he said was, well, we're not using my money.
So, right. Smart guy.
I said, yeah, okay, we can handle that. And so that's kind of the way it started. And then I'd say maybe it took us a year or so to put together our company. And one day I asked him, so now that we're partners and we're going to be filmmakers, do you have any idea what movie we're going to make? And he said, did you ever see a play that I wrote called Escanaba in the Moonlight? And I said, no, I've never seen that play. And he said, it's a comedy. And I said, oh, okay, let's make that one. So that's how the decision was made that we were going to enter the feature film business by creating Escanaba in the Moonlight. And it took, I think, probably about a year and a half total by the time we put the company together. I raised the money, and then we were off to Escanaba, and we shot that cult classic that is so well known in the great state of Wisconsin.
It really is. I mean,
I know
what you guys did, I think, is so brilliant because you already kind of had a following with the play. Didn't you tell me when you released the film, people went to see it over and over because they just liked the story so much. And the film was well done too, but like people just love the story.
Well, the deal with the play, which I didn't really know that much detail about it, but his theater was in trouble financially, as most small regional theaters get from time to time. And he wanted to write a comedy, and he had gone to Marquette to visit his in-laws. And they said, it was during deer season, and they said, well, come on out to deer camp with us. And he said, no, I'm not interested. And he said, no, just come on out. So he went out, and they spent a few days at deer camp. And he's not a deer hunter. And he met the cast at this little deer camp, you know, Jimmer Nagamani from Menominee.
Love it.
He was a real guy. And Jeff said, you know, I listened to this guy go on and on and on for 2 days. I didn't understand one word the guy said, you know, for two full days. And he, you know, he drank anything and everything that was put in front of him. So that was the seed for the play. And then the play did very well for the Purple Rose Theater. And then, other theaters picked it up, and it just became this, you know, cult classic blockbuster for small town regional theaters. And so I knew that that was based on a play. And the strange thing about it is, you know, this is my first movie. It was his first movie as far as writer director is concerned. And you're piecing this thing together in the middle of Escanaba, Michigan, in the middle of the winter. And so you have no idea whether it's going to work or not. But the best story, if I can continue. The best story is Jeff was represented by ICM in LA, and they, of course, wanted his movie. And they took one look at it and said, we don't know what to do with this thing. And it was awesome. It was so good because I was talking to all these people. I didn't know what I was doing, but I was talking to all these people about buying the movie. And everybody said, well, you have to change the name. You have to change the name. You have to change the name. I said, we're not changing the name. It's not going to change. We're going to keep the name. And like it or lump it, that's the way it's going to be. And all these guys from California would call me back and they'd go, yeah, we're calling you back about this little film that you made called, what's it called? Escondido in the Moonlight.
Conrad just mispronounced it before, too. He's like, Esperanza? What is this?
Conrad, shame on you.
Sorry. I'm sorry about that.
Shame, shame. So anyway, so they quickly threw it back in our lap and we didn't know what to do. And the good news was, because I didn't know what I was doing and Jeff didn't know what he was doing, we actually didn't go over budget. We came in under budget.
Yeah.
So I raised a couple $1 million to make the movie, and we actually made the movie for about $1.5 million. So we had $500,000 in the bank. And I just went to Jeff and said, hey, listen, you know, why don't we just release it ourselves? And he goes, well, you're going to do that? And I go, yeah. He goes, because I'm not going to do that. I go, yeah, no. But I'll do it.
I'm doing the new Keanu Reeves film. I don't have time for that.
That's right. So, he loved that one, let me tell you.
Yeah.
They promised him he wasn't going to get killed off.
Oh.
I don't think he made it 15 minutes.
I'm adding that to the questions. Okay, proceed.
So anyway, so we took this money and we did the whole, you know, back in the day, you did the whole dog and pony show. You did the print advertising. You did the promotional tour. You know, you did the PR stuff. I mean, and we were bopping around. But we only had enough money to make 27 prints, you know, six-can film prints.
Right.
And to do this entire campaign. So I found 27 movie theaters in Michigan that would allow us to open on Super Bowl weekend of 2020.
Hmm.
I'm sorry, 2000. Yeah, there we go, 2000. And we did the whole, you know, drove around, flew around, went to all the radio stations, did the whole thing. And the movie's going to open on Friday night, and everybody was going to fax me. Yes, fax me. the grosses on Friday night when they closed. And so when I went into my office on Saturday morning, I grabbed the faxes. They were all face down. And I turned over the first one and said, congratulations, we sold out. We want more prints.
Wow.
And they go, oh my God, wow, that's great. And I turned over the next one. Oh my God, we turned 1,000 people away. We got to get more prints. You got to give us, you know, so we can open more theaters. So all 27, you know, we're the same. And so it's the best day of my film career. And I called my wife and I was literally crying. I was crying because of the stress, but I mean, I was crying. And she sure. said to me, are those tears of joy? And I said, as a matter of fact, they are. So we crossed $1 million in gross in 10 days in Michigan alone.
For a little independent film. That is insane. Yeah.
Well, in my proudest moment is there's a thing called screen average. So that's the average right. revenue that each screen you has that generates. And there was a little movie that Tom Hanks did called Castaway that was killing it at that time.
Yeah.
And we knocked him on their fanny and bopped him right out. And that's what got us national attention. So Variety called, you know, and the Hollywood Reporter called because nobody knew about this stupid little movie. And we ended up being one of the top 200 highest grossing films for that year. And I'm staring at the little article in the Hollywood Reporter that I cut out and had framed as we speak. And so that's what got my film career you know, moving forward. It was Escanaba the Moonlight. And the thing is still a cult classic. It still moves titles. It still moves all the time.
It's so great, you know? Because everyone, like I say, I'll say to people, yeah, I'm working on a project with a guy who did Escanaba the Moonlight. And they always go, Jeff Daniels? And I'll go, no, Bob Brown. But they're still excited. Like, they love the movie so much. The producer they've never heard of gets them excited,
that's
too.
Right.
So we're going to talk more with Bob Brown about his film adventures, and there have been many, and they're all pretty cool. Great to have him with me, and great to have you with me here on this Monday night. I'm Pete Schwab. This is Nightlight. We'll be right back with more Bob Brown on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I'll be happy without you now. So alone, I beat the world. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay, WGBW, home for the Todd Allball Show.
An unsuspecting driver at a gas station in Wisconsin.
Welcome, Pump 15. How you doing?
Great.
Were you wearing your seatbelt today?
I never wear my seatbelt.
We're going to get him. We're going to get him real good.
Oh, my goodness.
Hello, sir. How you doing?
Dollar driver. Right, it takes 1 second to strap a seatbelt on. Well, let's do this. Let's do it together. Now, don't that feel better?
Donald Driver can't always be there to remind you.
Click it or tick it.
And let's reduce fatalities on Wisconsin roadways.
And I should have recognized your voice when you're harassing
me. I'm watching you.
Sponsored by Wisconsin DOT.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you. I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
The Talk of Green Bay, WGBW.
You're listening to pre-recorded content produced by Civic Media.
National Laundry Day. What a day. It's not as big as Arbor Day, but it's a big one, folks. And our question tonight is, my phone's going crazy. National Laundry Day. How many times can you wear clothes before washing? What is appropriate? Love to know what you guys think. Got some good text so far. 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Tom from 414 just said, Pete Love. Conrad, what do you make of that?
Maybe he's saying, I love that you don't wash your coat.
Maybe. Doubt it. Tom continues, Pete, if you can handle your own smell, go with it. Eventually, you will wash. That's what I've been saying, Tom. I'm with you. I love it. My guest right now is Bob Brown. He's a filmmaker, and he has made such films as Escanaba in the Moonlight, The Trouble with Dee Dee, Super Sucker, and a new one he's got coming out called Grounded. Bob, we were talking about Escanaba in the Moonlight and how thrilled you were with the numbers when you released it yourself, which just doesn't happen, it seems like, anymore, where people put out a little film and it comes back gangbusters financially.
Yeah, it doesn't. I mean, it happens, but it's an anomaly.
Yeah.
And the whole, I don't know how true these statistics are now, but 10 years ago, you know, the statistics were that every year 20,000 Pete and Bob sat down and said, let's make a movie this year. And of the 20,000 groups, only 4,000 actually made a movie.
Yeah.
And then of the 4,000 films that were made, only 400 got a theatrical release. And of the 400 that got a theatrical release, 95% of that box office was taken by the studios. So, you know, it's definitely uphill sledding. And you and I have talked, obviously, for years and years and years, but the challenge is the distribution side. I mean, the challenges are insurmountable in so many ways,
right?
You know, it's for independent filmmakers. But, you know, if you actually get to the point we have a finished product, you know, which is where we're at with Grounded. Now I'm out, you know, pounding on the doors and making the phone calls and trying to get people to, you know, give it the love and respect that it deserves. And, you know, we make these movies for a fraction of the cost of a studio film. But still, when you're trying to recoup on, you know, a theater ticket or a VOD rental or, you know, whatever the case may be, even in Escanaba, we're still selling DVDs.
You know,
I think it's because Deer Camps only have DVD players in them. But, one by one, the money comes back, but it's definitely a challenge. There's no doubt about it.
So I want to talk about Grounded with you, Bob, because that's your new film. We'll get to that. But I've met two guys. I have a writing partner named Greg Liano. We've sold some stuff together. We've been very fortunate. But his first film has a similar story. He wrote Meet the Parents as an independent film for $50,000, and it just became this huge thing in the independent film world. So that was his friend Emo Phillips writing him a check and saying, go do whatever you want. And then now, now he's got a hit movie and he goes into the studio offices, and that's not how it works. So also came out of the gate with a big hit your first time. Is that a blessing or a curse or a little bit of both?
Good question. I think that it's a little bit of both because, you know, what your audience may not know is that Jeff and my sophomore effort, which was Super Sucker, was the antithesis of what Escanaba was. So, you know, so where we knocked it out of the park on the first go round, on the second go round, you know, I wouldn't quite say. In fact, I remember having a conversation with Jeff, and he goes, "Well, how do we do?" And I go, "Nobody went." And he goes, "What do you mean, nobody went?" I go, "Nobody went." And he goes, "Well, what do you mean, nobody went?" I go, "Jeff, nobody went. The door to the theater did not open. Oh, no man. One went." And he was like, "You got to be kidding me. How could that possibly happen?" What do you, you know, he was thinking, "I'm Jeff Daniels." He didn't say it. He didn't say it, but that's what he was thinking.
It's your fault. That's what happened.
That's right.
Oh, man.
So, you know, that's just the way that it goes. And you know, and really now the idea is to have a better understanding of what the market wants and what the market needs and know what the obstacles are from a distribution point of view, so that no matter the size of the film you're making, you know, you can answer those objections.
Yeah.
You know, right from the jump, so that people will look at the movie and at least you'll get a conversation going, as opposed to, you know, not our cup of tea, and then walk away, you know. You know, it, as you well know, and I know, it starts with the script, and the script's got to be, the script's got to be awesome. If it's good, it ain't good enough. And if the only people that like it are people that love you, it ain't good enough, you know.
Yeah.
It's got to be, you really have to vet it, and you really have to, you know, I think good scripts say good to great takes 40 passes at least. 40 passes.
Yeah. My guest is Bob Brown. He is a filmmaker, Michigan-based filmmaker, and you have a new film, Bob, coming out called Grounded. First of all, tell us where we can see. Can you hang for a few minutes, Bob?
Yeah, sure.
Okay, cool.
Sure.
So before we get into Grounded, tell people where they can see Escanaba in the Moonlight. Because as you said, people are still finding it, and it's still a really fun watch.
Well, Escanaba in the Moonlight is still pretty much all over the VOD world. So you can find it...
Video on demand.
Video on demand, right. You can find it on... you know, all of the VOD providers, which is, you know, Amazon or Apple or help me out, Pete. You know them better.
Prime,
than I do,
Hulu, HBO, yeah. Vudu,
right.
Tubi,
right. Vudu, Tubi, all those places you can find it. And here's just a little bit of a little sneak peek of the life of a filmmaker. If you go to YouTube, I'll bet you $100 that you can find the full movie on YouTube, only because I've taken it down off of YouTube 50, 60, 70 times in my life. And it just keeps popping up there because people like it so much. But
that's awesome. Now you just keep taking money out of your own pocket.
Yeah, if you want to screw the filmmaker, go ahead and go to YouTube.
All right, we're going to talk about Bob's new film called Grounded next. Disclaimer, there's two Schwabas in it. That's what happens, folks, when people get desperate to find actors. This is Nightlight with Pete Schwab. More coming up next with Bob Brown on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your home for the Devil's Advocates, weekday afternoons from 4 until 6. The Talk of Green Bay, 1590 AM and 97.9 FM, WGBW. The The Todd Albaugh Show.
Luke, I'm just going to say it again. The real problem here was that goofy in-season soccer tournament that they had. That threw everything
off.
That's
not... What are you talking about? That was December basketball. You just couldn't figure out the rules.
You're exactly right. There are goofy rules I couldn't figure out. I don't like them.
You would not do well with driving on the left-hand side of the road.
Oh, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
You would just start freaking out. Yeah.
The Todd Albaugh Show. You're listening to the Talk of Green Bay. WGBW 1590 AM Denmark. W250 CD Green Bay. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.